I'm not real sure I've got answers to all of those questions, but I do think I've got some answers to some real questions that are going on in your life. Before we do that today, though, let's take just a moment. All of our campuses are joining with us. Let's take just a moment today before we go any further. Let's pray for those in Florida, as well as those that are in Texas and what they're recovering from and what Florida is getting ready to have to recover from. Could we just join together and pray? Father, we thank you today that you are the God in the midst of the storm. And so we pray for all of those who are in Florida today and wherever this storm is headed, and Lord, as well as those who are recovering in Texas and all those different areas there. We just pray for your protection, for your keeping, for your help and your source to come to them. And God, we pray that even in the midst of this, that there would be good things that would come out of this, that it would make us stronger as a nation and as a people, and that we would even turn toward you more as we understand the power of nature, but we understand also the power of God that is greater than that. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you help me, Love and Truth Church North, would you help me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us? We want to especially welcome those of you who are in Dyersburg today. We're relaunching there in Dyersburg today with Pastor Ron and his wife, Teresa. And so we're excited about that, believing for great things in Dyersburg. I'm beginning a new series today called Who, What, and Where. I'm going to talk to us today, first of all, about who am I. We're going to take some time just figuring out who we are next week, and we're going to talk about what difference do I make? Why are you here? What difference are you making in life in general? And then lastly, we're going to talk about where do I fit? Where is it that is my specific place in life, and where is it that I need to fit? Now, I don't know if any of you have ever played this game. I can remember as a teenager going to a retreat with hundreds of teenagers, and what they did was is they took, I started to say sticky notes, but we probably didn't have sticky notes back then. Don't look at me like that. But they took tape or something, and they wrote somebody's name on it, and they put it on your forehead. Anybody ever played this game? You couldn't see it, but you had to go to different people in the room, and you had to ask them yes or no questions, such as, is it a man or is it a woman? You know, is it a man? They say, no, well, then you got it. It's a woman, right? Y'all following this game? You know, is it a superhero? No, it's, you know, and try to figure out who you were. And I always wanted to be Superman. What's wrong with you? Okay? But it was a process of elimination. And you know what I found is through the years I found out that really is kind of what we do all the time. We're all kind of progressively trying to figure it out. In your 20s, you kind of think, it's all about who you know. And so you try to run with the right people and be with the right people. In your 30s, it's about what you have. And so you try to accumulate all the things. In your 40s, you begin to try to figure out, well, who knows me? And in your 50s, I mean, you just at every stage of life, you're kind of struggling with this whole thing about who am I. Everybody wants to know. In fact, we take personality tests to tell us, are we a type D or type A, whatever the personality test says. Are we more driven? Are we more laid back? All of these kind of things. I remember a few years ago, I got really interested in this whole DNA thing, and I kept saying, I'm gonna do that. Any of you seen that on television? You know where they'll send you a test kit, and you just checking if y'all are here, all right? And so I kept talking about it, and for Father's Day one year, Sherry bought me the little kit, and I spit in the test tube, you know, and sent it back. And they sent me a thing a few months, I guess it was a couple of weeks later, whatever. And this is the ethnicity estimate for William Couples, and it goes through that. And basically, I'm about 98% from Great Britain, Ireland. All my ancestors are in there. There's 2% that came from Italy and Greece. A couple of people kind of, you know, got out of the reservation, you know, and got somebody in the mix there that weren't, you know, we weren't sure about. But anyway, and then they gave me page after page after page of all these things of my ancestry, and, you know, that I read and said, that's kind of interesting. Now I know a little bit better about who I am. You know, I wanted something real exotic. I wanted to be, you know, something Soviet Union or, you know, something. I wanted to be off. I didn't want to be like everybody else. I wanted to be, and come to find out, I'm just Anglo-Saxon. Anyway, but you know, we all those things, and then what we find is now, you know, this whole aspect of self-image. Okay, we struggle with our self-image because everything on television is so perfect, and everything that we see in magazines, and what we don't realize, especially young girls and women don't realize that everything that you see and everything that you visualize on whether it's television, whatever, it's all made up. Do you realize that all the reality shows are scripted? Right? This week, this person's going to be mad. Next week, that person's going to be mad. And this, it's all written out. It's all put together. You know, when you open that magazine and you see that woman, and there are no imperfections. She is perfect. What they don't tell you is how much photoshopping there's been done to that picture, because if you really saw her in real life, she's 80 pounds heavier, and why do y'all do me this way, right? And so we struggle with that. And then if you ever read anybody's Facebook profiles, don't believe them, right? Come on, have you ever noticed that everybody's Facebook is, they're always perfect, unless they're mad at somebody, then they're raising Cain, which would y'all cut that mess out? I don't even do Facebook, and I hear about you going crazy on Facebook. All right, so just stop it. All right, but we project that stuff out there, and so we kind of have this tendency to think that we're in a perfect world, and so we struggle with that because we know, here's what we all know. We know we're not perfect. We know we got some imperfection. There's some problems, some difficulties, there's some hang-ups, there's inferiorities, all these things that we're struggling with, and so because of that, we're constantly trying to find out who we are, and so I want to help us with that today. I want to turn our attention to the Word of God, because I believe, as a Christian, I believe that the Word of God gives us direction in that, and also kind of prescribes to us how that we are to live. So would you go in your Bible, if you have a Bible, if you don't, just watch the screen. The book of Genesis, the first chapter, a couple of verses there where God is creating man, and he places him upon this earth. And I want to read just what it says about this moment. It says, then God said, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now, the King James Version talks about that we are created in the image and in the likeness of God Almighty. Now, here's what I want to say to you, and if you don't get anything else today, please hear this and please get this. You are valuable, right? Come on, you are valuable. A biblical understanding of humanity makes each and every one of us give great value to others. In fact, one of the things that I found through the years, when you travel to different countries that are predominantly Christian, even though they got their messes and their stuff, they have a tendency to value human life more than those countries and those nations that have maybe a different understanding, come from a different perspective than a Judeo-Christian understanding. Why? Because when you read the Bible, and when you understand the New Testament especially, you will find out that mankind, woman, man, all of us are created in the image and in the likeness of God, and that the biblical understanding gives us that ability to give great value to others. And so as we understand that, we begin to live differently. We need to understand this. That's why, as a Christian, I believe that an unborn child is just as valuable as a born child. All right? Just because they've transitioned from being unborn to birth, to me, in my understanding, from the moment of conception, they're valuable. Why? Because they're created in the image and the likeness of God. Same way with somebody. I can't, because maybe I've been blessed and I've got some wealth and I live in a certain neighborhood or drive a certain kind of car. I can't look down at somebody who's poor and say, well, they're just worthless. They're nobody. Who do they think they are? They shouldn't even speak to me. Wait a minute. We are all created in the image and in the likeness of God. Amen. There's that ability that needs to come to all of us, that it doesn't matter. Listen, you didn't choose to be born, first of all. Secondly, you didn't choose whether you were going to be male or female. You didn't choose your skin color. You didn't choose your hair color. Well, a lot of you did. Just seeing if you're listening. You didn't choose these things that are inborn. When you got here, you're here now. And what we have to understand is that I need to look at humanity and understand that all human life is precious. It's precious to God. It's valuable to God. And so we need to value it the same way. So when the scripture talks about that you are created in the image and the likeness of God, I want to talk about those two things. First of all, I want to talk about what it means when it says that we are created in the image of God, okay? First of all, that means is that we are a rational being, okay? That in this moment that we have the ability to choose is what that means. Now, let me say this to you as you're taking notes there. I know each and every one of us have our moments where we're not rational. Come on, anybody fess up that you have those irrational moments? Come on, anybody? I'm waiting. All right, those of you at the campuses, I'm waiting for you to raise your hand, all right? And I don't mean over big stuff. I mean over just stupid stuff, that you just lose your mind in the middle of a moment, right? It's like it doesn't matter what's going on, but you have just lost it over your kid had on a pink sock and a blue sock. And you got to school, and you looked in the back seat, and there's a pink sock and a blue sock, and you look at them and say, why do you have... Right? And they go, because I like it. Right? And you're freaking out. You're having that moment that is just totally irrational. So when I say that we are rational human beings, I understand we have our moments, okay? What I mean by that is this, is that we are the part of God's creation that is capable of logical thought with the ability to reason, to take our mind and to reason towards sound conclusions that are based on facts and evidence. We can work through that and come to a place. And that's how God is. God is a rational being. He is a thinking God, and He created us in His image. Secondly, we are a moral being, okay? God made us with that sense of morality. I grew up in Africa. Most of you know that. I was born there. And I can tell you this, for all those first few years of my life, there were a lot of times that my father was the first white person that anybody in a village in Liberia had ever seen. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't know who Jesus was, et cetera, et cetera. But here's what each and every one of them did know. They did know what was right and what was wrong. All right, why? Because they were created with a moral image on the inside of them. We need to understand this. All of us are a reflection of God's holiness, okay? And so because of that, inside of us, there's this thing called a conscience. All right? Now, you can wear it out till it doesn't bother you anymore, but you know the first time you steal, you know you're not supposed to steal. The first time you lie, you're not supposed to lie. You just know that. Okay? Now, you can get good at it. Right? But because you are created in the image of God, there's this moral compass that's down inside of you that's always trying to point you to true north, to that place where you are living in a right and righteous way with God Almighty. And so that's what it means to be in the image of God. Thirdly, we are created as a social being. Okay? The scripture there says that God said, "Let us create man in our image." Now, let me say this to you, that when it talks about that, it's talking about the Godhead, that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but there's one God. I don't understand that. I don't claim to have an understanding of the Godhead. And let me just help you a little bit more. Anybody else that tells you they do, they'll mess with you about something else, okay? Because we are finite human beings, and how can a finite human being explain an infinite God? I don't know that. All that I know that there are three, but He has revealed is one God. But here's what I know. He said, "Let us make man in our image." In other words, there is this social connection, even in the Godhead, that we need to come to an understanding of. God looked down after creating Adam, the most perfect man that there has ever been. All right? I know you thought you married the one, but you didn't. I hate to say it this way, but from Adam and Eve, we've just been going steadily downhill, people. All right? They were the perfect ones. We aren't, okay? But God creates Adam, and he looks at Adam, and after a while, and we don't know how long it was, he looks at Adam, and he says, something's wrong. Something's missing. And he said, man, he said, it's not good for man to dwell alone. And so he gets down, and he creates woman out of man so that Adam could have a connection. And here's what I found out through the years, is that each and every one of us, every human being is created for connection. We want to be connected. And here's what I believe. Every connection is a reflection of God. When I connect with the way God wants me to, it reflects back on him. And this whole aspect of being a social being that God has created me to be. So some of us need to do a better job at connecting with other people. I'll keep moving. The fourth thing that you are in the image of God is that you are a spiritual being, okay? You are a spiritual being. Now here's what you need to understand. When Adam and Eve were created, they were spiritually alive unto God according to creation and according to the Word of God. They are alive. There's this spiritual dynamic that is not understood after that point in time. But let me say it this way. The Word of God says to us that we are a three-part being, that we are a spirit, that we have a soul, and we live in a body. All that you can see and all that you relate to with somebody else pretty much is their body. Let me ask this question. How many of you have ever met somebody and before they said two words, you didn't like them? Lord, would you please forgive all of these liars? It happened to me this week. I was in a setting this week. I'll be real careful. I was in a setting this week, and somebody came in, and I mean, with just their mannerisms got on my nerve, and I just left. I just said, I'm out. I'm gone. Y'all handle it. I'm out, because I knew I wouldn't act good. I am so glad that some of you are perfect. Just pray for me. Pray for that I'll reach perfection like you. It was like boom. I went, I don't like him. And I looked around and I thought, if I stay, no, I'm out. I'm gone. Y'all got it. I'm out. Handle it. Right? And so why? There are those moments though that there's this aspect of spirit striving with spirit. That you can once you become alive in Christ, that you can walk into a situation and you will know immediately that something's not right here, something's off here. Why? Because even though that we relate more to the body than we do to any other part, whether it's the soul or the spirit, both of those aspects also work in the life of, especially in the life of a believer. That once you become spiritually alive to Christ, once you receive him into your life and you're made new, what the Bible says, then in that moment there's this spiritual dynamic that begins to work. See, all of our human spirituality orients us towards God. That's why it's interesting to me that no matter where you go on this earth, people are worshiping something. Doesn't matter where you go. You can go to the places that nobody has ever been, and I promise you, I've done enough research, I promise you they're worshiping something. It may be something they've created. It may be they may be worshiping something they're watching on television or worshiping their job or whatever. You know, in our society, we would say, oh, pastor, we don't have idols. Americans don't have idols. Wait a minute, we have a whole show that's coming back called American, right? Come on, I think Americans may have more idols than anywhere. You know, at least when you go to certain countries, you can see their idol. They're made out of wood or whatever. In America, we worship everything but the true and the living God. Okay, let's keep moving, okay? But when you come in a relationship with Jesus Christ, what happens in that moment is that humanity gets filled with deity. In other words, we get saved, and in that moment, now we're alive unto God, and we begin to truly reflect His image and His likeness. The latter part of verse 26 there, I won't read it, but I'll just share it with you, talks about that God gives mankind the ability to rule upon this earth, that we now have the ability as what God has called us to rule on this earth. So here's what we need to understand. You and I are God's representative upon this earth. Now think about that for a minute, okay? In other words, we were made to reflect God's glory. Who am I? I am God's child. I am created to reflect the glory of God Almighty. The divine source of God wants to live in the life of every human being. And so what has to happen here is that we have to understand, listen, it's needful for us, and I'm going to say something that's totally politically incorrect. It's needful for us to understand that the words we say, the positions we take, and the decisions we make, they are not our own. They are made for another. Okay, let me say that again. I'm going to talk to y'all or to the camera. I'm not sure which, okay? Because this group's giving me ugly looks. They're making me nervous. Not really. All right. The words we say, the positions we take, the decisions we make are not our own. They're made for another. That's why, and I'm going to say it, that's why I don't care what the president does or how he says it or how he tweets it. As a believer, you can't be mean-spirited to other human beings and expect God to smile on that and to be happy with that. It's not right, it's not fair, and it's not just. I am an equal opportunity offender. I will offend Democrats one week, and I will offend Republicans the next week, and I'll get the rest of you on the third week, all right? Because we have got to come to the place of saying, well, you know, it's this, that, the media, this, that. No, wait a minute. I can come to the place where I understand that I am a reflection of God Almighty. I am made in His image, and I am made in His likeness, and I need to respond as though that is who I am, right? So who am I? I am God's child. When we get that, when we settle that, it begins to help us to live in a different way. Now, let me tell you this. Several years ago, I came across a story about a young man who, at about 14 or 15 years of age, was told by a teacher, listen, Victor, you are a dummy. You are a dunce. What you need to do is you need to quit school, you need to get a job, and you need to just work the rest of your life and hope you make enough money to take care of yourself. So as what we would call high school, Victor drops out of school. He gets a job, and the story goes, and it's documented story, that in the first 30 years of his life, that Victor had over 70 jobs. Now think about that. That makes some of you feel better, doesn't it? Over 70 jobs Victor had. At about 30 years of age, it was during World War II, about 30 years of age, he is conscripted into the Army, and they gave him an IQ test when he got into the Army. And they really didn't know even why they were doing it, but they gave him an IQ test. And at that point, the IQ test could only go to 161 IQ. And when Victor took the IQ test, he blew the lid off of the IQ test. He hit 161, and it would have gone well past that if it could have. All of a sudden, over the next 49 or so years of his life, Victor then becomes a best-selling author, publishes over 20 books. He becomes the president for over 10 years of Mensa Society, and you can't even get in Mensa unless you've got 120 IQ. He, all of a sudden, in that moment, something happened. Now, here's what happened. For the first 30 years of his life, every time he looked in the mirror, he saw a dummy. Every time he got dressed, he dressed a dummy. Every time he shaved a dummy. All that happened was somebody said, you're not a dummy. And in that moment, there was a switch that was clicked in his brain that said, his name is Viktor Serebrennikov. You can look him up. He died in about 2000. He is a man who moved from that point after 30 years of floating around, failing at everything, then flew into this place that the next several years of his life, he becomes everything that he could be because somebody switched his understanding of who he was. I am here today to switch your understanding of who you are. You're not a nobody going nowhere. You are a somebody that the power of God created on this earth for a special purpose, and he's got great plans for your life. Amen. That's what I want to get across to you today. And so the Bible talks about we're made in his image and in his likeness. And that 26th verse lets us know that we have been given divine empowerment. We have been given the power of the Almighty God that we can release the power of his Spirit, and that the Bible says, greater things than this shall you do because I go to the Father. The disciples are talking one day about everything Jesus has done, all the healings, all the deliverance, all the raising of the dead, all the things that he had done. Jesus hears them, and he turns around and looks at them, and he says, hey, guys, you know all those things you're talking about? They said, yeah, Lord, we know. We know. You know, you heal this one. You raise that one. You open the blinded eyes. You fed 5,000. He said, let me tell you something. Greater things than this shall you do because I go to the Father. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that the Scripture teaches that Jesus can't lie. So if he can't lie, that means you and I have received the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, the pneuma of the Lord has come into our life, and that we need to start living like Jesus lived. Amen. Come on, Christians. If you're a believer today, it's time that we started living like we really believe something. Amen. Come on, we can't live with fear and doubt and unbelief all the time. We need to start walking in and saying, I'm here to take over. I'm in charge. Get out of my way. I am going to do everything that God has for me. Acts 1 and 8 says you're going to receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come on you. You have been given the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So not only have we been given this divine empowerment, but we've been given divine authority. In other words, we've been given the right to exercise the power. Now, let me say this to you. There's a war going on. If you didn't know it, there's a war going on. And that war is between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom. And the prize of that war is humanity. We are the prize. And so God has done everything that he can to make sure that you are saved, that you enter in a relationship with him, that you come fully alive, and that you realize who you are. Satan is doing everything to keep you beaten down, keep you entrusted to him, keep you locked in, keep you in bondage, keep you addicted, right? Come on, look at everything that the world does. All it does is keep you in bondage, right? I'm going to get high because that's going to feel good. Well, what got you high last week won't get you high this week. You got to up it. You got to go somewhere else. Well, I'm going to get involved with this relationship. Well, that was not going to satisfy very long. I got to get involved in this relationship, and I got to go this, and I... Why? Because that's how the enemy operates. And yet the Word of God says that Jesus Christ said, I am come that you would have life and that you would have that life more abundantly. That's how he's come. The book of James tells us to submit to the Lord, to resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. When I come to that place where I am living in submission to God, and what he tells me to do is when I find myself defeating the powers of the enemy. Listen, Jesus secured the right for you to use authority. We've got the authority to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That good news is that if you don't know him, you can know him. That good news is, if you don't know how to live, he'll give you a direction in your life and how to live. He can change your life today. He's telling us as believers, listen, you can operate as Jesus did. I know that makes some Christians nervous, but that's what he told us. That's what we need to come to. I think this, and I'll get off of it, but I think with all of my heart that if Christians really would believe the Bible and act like Jesus acted, we'd change the world. It happened in the first 100 years of the church. Why can't it happen again? The Bible says they turned the world upside down. Why? Because they believed what they heard and they went out and propagated what had happened in their lives. The third thing is, in the image and in the likeness of God, is that we have divine accountability. You and I have been given authority and power, but if we don't use them, they're useless. And we're going to give an account for them, the Bible says. Listen, when you make a request in the name of Jesus, it has to be consistent with the nature of Jesus. Okay? You can't, remember the sons of Zebedee, the Bible calls them the sons of thunder. In Scripture there, Jesus' two disciples, James and John, the Bible says that they came to Jesus one day because there was this town that didn't treat them right. And they said, Lord, let's just call fire down out of heaven. And Jesus looked at them and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. Right? Come on. Using the authority of who Jesus is that goes against the nature of who Jesus is never works. Okay? You can't ask God to kill people. I know some of you have prayed that prayer. Cut it out. You know, come on, don't look guilty, but you know you have. Lord, that ex-husband, I pray you just kill him. My mother-in-law, Lord, if you just take her home to be with you. My boss, God, if you just let him, well, okay, God, I don't want to be accused of murder, but would you just let him get really, 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 really sick, God, just like for a month or so? Come on, quit praying that stuff, all right? Listen, here's why you can walk in the authority of God. You can walk in the authority of God because you're in relationship with God. If you're not in relationship with him, if you're here today or you're watching me today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what I'm telling you is not going to work for your life. But if you come to that place today of saying, Lord, I want a relationship with you, and you get in that relationship, it'll turn your world upside down. See, here's the deal for all of us. The reason that we struggle is because all of us have fallen and we've all sinned. And here's what happens when we sin. We get guilt and shame and fear come into our life, and we start living in that place. And yet the Bible says that God wants to give grace to us. And we hear that song, we sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, but we really don't even understand what grace is. Here's what grace is. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. You don't deserve forgiveness and restoration, but that's what grace gives you. Grace shows up and says, I want to bless you. I want you in my kingdom. You are a masterpiece that's been created by God himself. When you get up tomorrow and you look in the mirror, don't go, good Lord, it's Monday. Right? Come on, look in that mirror and say, Lord, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am your creation. You have placed your spirit in my life. I am a somebody going somewhere to take over something, right? That we are going forward. What happens to us is that our understanding needs to change from who am I to who I am. Who I am is I'm a child of God. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I have the right to call him my father. Amen. That's what the Word of God tells us. Listen, I am loved. You are loved and chosen of God. The Bible says in the book of John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you believe on him, you wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. You were chosen by God. Not only were you chosen, you were adopted. I got three wonderful grandchildren that are adopted. And they are special. And there they are. And you know what? You better not talk about my kids. I'll fight you quicker over them than I would over their mom and dad's. right? And God says to us, listen, I'm adopted by God Almighty. In fact, the book of Romans says this, that his spirit that we have received doesn't make us slaves again, but that we would live in fear. Rather, we come to that place through the spirit that we are now adopted by God and that we can cry out to God. That word Abba there just means daddy. We just come and say, daddy, here I am. Why? Because I'm adopted. I am God's child. You say, who are you? I'm God's child. Don't mess with God's child. Amen. Lastly, I'm an overcomer. The Bible says this, for everyone born of God overcomes this world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith in the Lord God Almighty of what he has done. And how he has blessed us. And so in your life today, in my life today, I've got to come to that place of saying, you know what? I'm struggling with who am I? I look at this and I think I'm this, I think I'm that, I think I'm the other. But I've got to come to the place some way, somehow of understanding I'm God's child. I don't care what anybody else says about you today. You're precious. You're valuable. God looks at you, and not only does he look at you in a way that only God can, but he looks at you and says, I love you so much that I will pay the price so that you and I can have a relationship. He looks at you and says, I know that because of sin, it keeps you away from me because I am holy and righteous. But he says, you know what? I think so much of you that I'm going to send my only begotten son and he's going to die so that you and I can have a relationship. And for those of us who have made that decision, some of us many years ago, was the greatest decision we've ever made. Have our lives been perfect? No. Do we have it all together? Nope. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what we know? We know who we are. Somebody can come along and they can say anything they want to. They can put it on Facebook. They can put it on any social media that's out there. And they can say anything they want to about you or about me. But at the end of the day, their opinion doesn't matter. The only one that matters is what my Father thinks. And my Father thinks that I'm wonderful because he said, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. What a way to live. What a way to look at ourselves today and say, you know what? I'm not going to live in condemnation anymore. I'm going to live in the grace of the Almighty God. Amen.